been stayed because of persecution.
When we spend time with Jesus, it won't be stayed. Do I hit the button? Silence. It's red. Yeah. Okay. I will be talking about the boldness in speaking the word. We can't have our mouths stayed. We have to have that word burning in our bones. He told us to go out and spread the word to all nations and speak to every creature. So we've gotten the command. I want to start off by thinking, unless a person is fully persuaded in what they believe, they won't exchange their life for it. It's one of the biggest proofs that the resurrection is true. Those men would have never given up their life for something they didn't believe in. Not only that, they must believe in what they give up is not worth as much as what they're going to get. Amen. A good example of this is a rich young ruler. Well, he must not have really believed that Jesus Christ could have given him eternal life and joys forevermore at his right hand. So, he loved that which he could see more than what he couldn't see. And we must love that we can't see more than what we can see.
Amen. Say that one again, Brother
John. We have to love more the things that we cannot see than the things we can see. When Jesus was put to death, they were afraid and doubting, wondering if he was really the Christ. Peter denied him three times outside the trial. Great was the change when they saw the resurrected Christ. That's what I noticed when I was doing my study, is the change that occurred in them when they had seen the resurrected Christ. Also, when they received the Holy Spirit, endued with power from on high, Holy Spirit's going to give them all remembrance of all those things that they learned when they were with Jesus. We know that our sufficiency, when we go out there in a world that's going to persecute us, that God is our sufficiency.
Amen.
It's not going to be us. It's going to be God is our sufficiency, and it's going to be the Holy Spirit that really pricks the hearts. We are faithful stewards, but it's going to be the Holy Spirit that does the work. John declares, so the apostles, you know, we want to think about how the Pharisees acknowledged that they had been with Jesus. And we see that the apostles were what? They were witnesses. It talks about time and again, we are witnesses. We are witnesses. John declares that which was from the beginning, which we heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you. And that's what we need to do. We need to declare what we have seen and heard. But like you have heard before, we have to have seen and heard something to be able to declare it.
Amen.
So if we aren't in our prayer closets enough, and if we aren't spending time in the Word, and if we aren't with the brethren being affirming the things we believe, then we won't see much. And we won't have much to say. They were eyewitnesses of his majesty and were persuaded that he was the Messiah. They knew no one else who could give them the words of life. Now Jesus was different than the scribes and the leaders of Israel, for he spoke as one with authority. Jesus explained the parables only to the disciples, so they were knowledgeable about the things of God. Jesus called the Pharisees. See, the disciples and apostles, they saw Jesus in action. And what did they see? They saw a very bold leader. Jesus called the Pharisees blind guides, a generation of vipers, whited sepulchers. In his fearless rebuke of their arrogant ways, he had the denouncement when we did the speech of the seven woes. Bold statements, very bold statements. So they had been with Jesus and or tutorage under him and saw him in action. And Jesus said, "What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him that is able to destroy both the soul and the body in hell." Amen. Jesus has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you. By us, we pray you in God, Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. As though God did beseech you by us. We are speaking the words of God. We are God's ambassadors. We are fellow laborers. So let us, let a man so account of us, the apostle says, as of the ministers of Christ, stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And in Corinthians it says, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me." So, woe is to me if I preach not the gospel. Jeremiah felt the same way when he was being persecuted. He said, "I don't want to mention him nor speak any more of his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay."
Amen.
Stephen, one of the deacons chosen by the apostles, having laid their hands upon him, caused the word to increase greatly. And we see that he says boldly to them, he says, "Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers." Is that boldness? Why would he speak such things this way, after he gave a chapter in Acts about the history of Israel? He spoke it to them because it was the truth and because they needed to hear it. In Acts 13:46, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, 'It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you, but seeing you put it from you, and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles.'" They went into the synagogues and they reached out to the Jews who were a stiff-necked people. And they says, "You're unworthy of it because you've rejected it." So they go to the Gentiles. And they were a light unto the Gentiles. Prophets of old were bold, were they not? Elijah was very bold when he said, "I have found them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all the day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." So we see that when the Gentiles were given the word of God, they were much vigor, the word spread. They were persecuted in Jerusalem. What happened? They were scattered, and they spread the word of God because of persecution. When we're in the iron furnace, it helps to push us to do more and to say more. When we have the word of God within us. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Now, what must we commit to Christ? The salvation of our souls. And souls that we have turned or have shared the gospel with, them too, that we commit them to God and he will keep them. Endurance is needed, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I will endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Even though he was bound in prison, the word of God isn't. Amen. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. We should never be ashamed of Christ. What we need to do is confess him before men. But I would that ye should understand, brethren, that these things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident in my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. They saw Paul speaking in the prison. He was spreading the word there, and they could see that success, and it gave them courage and confidence to go out themselves and spread the word. When we see other brethren, say we go out with the brethren, and they're giving us examples of how they can move the word of God. Some people are gifted pretty well in that. I kind of like to be around those people and see how they perform. And we all have our own ways of saying the word. But when we see others, it encourages us to do the same and to go out and do it. So we need to give that example to one another. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Paul left Philippi and went to Thessalonica. And after his bold opening and alleging, remember, he opening and alleging with boldness, of course, in the synagogues, that Christ must needs and suffered, he rose from the dead. There were envious Jews there that did not want him to continue to speak. And they drew Jason, one of the believers, and certain brethren unto the rulers of the city, crying, "These have turned the world upside down, or now come hither also." This sounds to me like the word was spreading with great boldness. We've made it to Acts finally, my text. I'm going to read Acts 4, 10 through 13 about the lame man that was healed at the gate called Beautiful. Now, before I start, Acts amazed me how it's full of speeches and declarations of men. Peter in the first seven and then Paul in the last half. Wonderful things to read, and I thought I could just spend all my time. But you can read it. You know, I can stand up here and read these. They're magnificent. But we ought to read them because they're wonderful. For example, in chapter 2, Peter addresses the crowd at Pentecost, why they were amazed with these men speaking in tongues and what it meant. They explained it to them. And in chapter 3, Peter speaks to the crowd about the crippled man at Gate Beautiful. And why are you amazed that he's walking? We didn't do this. God did this because of Jesus, because of his belief in Jesus. In chapter 3, in chapter 4, Peter speaks before the Sanhedrin with John. They prayed for boldness then. In chapter 5, they were arrested again. And as jailbreakers, I think there's at least three times in Acts where they break out of jail. But we see that even though they were threatened and beaten, they praised God that they were counted worthy to speak the word of God. So it goes on, you know, Stephen's preaching, as I already mentioned. But you know, another thing that catches all of our eye is when Paul was converted and baptized, he immediately went out of the synagogues. Now, this was a guy who, you know, was going to, the words are, slaughter them in Acts 9:1 and really persecute them. And here this guy is telling them that Jesus is the Messiah in their synagogues with great boldness. Well, they were out to kill him right away. But these are examples of boldness, speaking the word, because they were fully persuaded. Unless we are fully persuaded, we will not do it either. Amen. And we'll be quieted. They will persecute us, and they will want to stay our mouths. But if we believe, truly believe in the things that we have heard and seen, we need to see something. We need to experience it, and then we'll be able to speak it. So Acts 4. But be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, now he's before the Sanhedrin here, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, you know, these are fishermen. These people usually, these judges, size people up pretty quick. And they look at them and they go, okay, these are fishermen. They've never been taught anything. They're talking to us like I just read. What is going on? They acknowledge they had been with Jesus. And then they reckoned, yeah, we know Jesus and how he spoke. And they had learned under Jesus. We need to learn under Jesus. We too will be able to speak like they did. So here they were in the midst of these angry leaders who were really just not happy with them. And they consulted in private and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. See, they didn't know what else to do. They couldn't deny it. It was obvious to everyone there that he had been healed. 40 years old and older. So they couldn't deny it. And they knew if they like whacked him really bad right there, that the people, they'd lose a lot of credibility. So they were confounded. The scriptures say that when they persecuted my anointed one, they'd be confounded. Well, they were confounded. You know, the scripture was fulfilled here. They were confounded. They didn't really know much what to do. outside of threatening them. But Peter and John answered them and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. That's pretty bold. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. They were witnesses again. They were totally convinced. They knew what they had seen and heard, and they were going to speak it. So when they had further threatened them, they let them go. They were not consulting with each other on how they were going to answer when they were in front of them. Kind of like in the book of Daniel, when they said, oh, Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship golden image which thou hast set up. Not a happy king. But God was on their side, and they delivered them. God delivered them from the fiery furnace. He will deliver you and I also. Amen. We can count on that. Whether it be in the way we think he'll deliver us or not, doesn't matter. That it's only for the rest of this life that we will be in this position of being soldiers, as what was brought up. But we can jump for joy that we were counted worthy to be able to participate in God's way of salvation by preaching the word to the people who have itching ears and don't want to hear the truth. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. So they go back, they tell the other disciples what was going on. Grant unto thy servants with all boldness they may speak thy word. They prayed for boldness, and God responded with an earthquake to encourage them. And they were with men with minds made up. That's what we need to do also, though. It says in Colossians that they prayed for that we should speak as we ought. In Ephesians, it talks about that. Paul says it in both of those epistles. We ought to speak as we ought to speak. But we have to have our minds made up ahead of time, because we'll be put in circumstances. I have a verse from Ecclesiastes. We don't know when the time is that God will open a door of utterance to us. We have to be ready at all times. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. These men that were before them, they were threatening their lives. But we will, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. So it says in Ephesians what? Above all things, stand. Therefore, stand. Luke 21, it says, and it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it, therefore, in your hearts, not to mediate before what you shall answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. It's promised to us. Cowards will not be in heaven. The fearing will not be in heaven. God doesn't want the lukewarm. He spews them out of his mouth. So be hot. In Joshua, God said, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. Not even dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. So, we have been sent out. In Isaiah 55, we can be assured that the words we speak, as we're full of the scriptures, that it will not be void or of none effect. So shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. This is a promise. In Ephesians 6, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, and therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. If we sow abundantly, we will reap abundantly. So it's only for the rest of eternity that you have to reap abundantly if you store up these things in heaven. So all we need to do is be faithful to speak. We don't have to worry that we're good enough in everything that we do. We just need to have the words of life to speak, to be honest and frank, and to not fear their face, but just speaking the word in love. They need to see that from us. In Thessalonians it says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time did we use flattering words. We don't have to, you know, coat it or flatter people. We need to just speak honestly. When's the time to preach? I like this in Ecclesiastes 11:6. And in the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper. Another verse like that is, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come that they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. Couple words there, reprove and rebuke. You know, it's not something we want to do all the time. It's something that we want to do when it's necessary. We should walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. But never be ashamed of Christ. Amen. Cry out aloud, it says in Isaiah 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression. In Jude 3, it tells us that we need to contend. It was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. What's the goal of ambassadors? To whom God would have made known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I labor, striving according to his workings, which worketh in me mightily. We need to warn people. Well, as I see some eyes getting heavy out there, let me mention some words of the scripture that are bold words again in Acts 5. Saying, did not we straitly command you that you should not teach in this name? And behold, ye fill Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us? Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be the Prince and Savior, for to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. We need to obey him and be witnesses. Those, not everybody will hear us. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. We have overcome the world by what? Our faith. We need full assurance of faith. If we are fed well, we can't help but speak the things of God has revealed to us through bold preachers. Woe unto the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, saith the Lord. And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. If we do these things, we will help our brethren to be bold ambassadors when we speak the words of God to our brethren, so we can go out and have, as it says here, for the Lord will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifies me. Whom will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. And I will end there. Your comments, corrections.
Yeah, Paul in 2 Corinthians, concerning the spirit of faith, he quotes from a psalm and says, I believe, therefore I speak.
Yeah.
And he says, and Paul says after, it says, we believe, therefore we speak. And so like in Acts, what you find are believing men who just can't be shut up. They refuse to stop speaking. And so that's what we find, is that it's hard to keep a believing person from speaking.
Amen.
When they're fully persuaded.
You mentioned that this is part of our overcoming. We overcome by faith. And I was reminded of the Revelation where it talks about the accuser of the brethren. It says they, that is the saints, overcome him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony.
Amen.
So this has to do with overcoming our enemy in this life too.
Sure does. Amen.
It seems like most of the passages you're talking about is speaking in this environment of hostility. It doesn't take a lot of boldness to speak to all the brethren here who love the truth and are eager to receive it. But boldness is required when there is opposition. And it's still, God calls on you to speak.
Amen.
Don't premeditate beforehand of what to say. It will be given you that same hour. It shall not be you that speak, but the Holy Ghost speaking through you.
Brother Larry?
The preparation for it is what the disciples had with the seeing and the hearing. That's what will actually prepare us to do this. The boldness is not related to an outgoing personality. It's not related to pumping yourself up so you got to do it. Paul talked about a dispensation of the gospel being committed unto him. He talked about doing it willingly and unwillingly. But either way, he did it and he was rewarded for it. There's a whole line of ministry that's dedicated to apologetics, and I'm not going to comment a whole lot on that. But just the word itself doesn't sound right. See, we're not apologizing for the gospel and for the truth. One time somebody was asked, well, how do you protect the lion? They said, well, you don't protect him, you let him loose. So the idea is that we just tell what we've seen, tell what we've heard, and God will work in that.
Amen.
And that's the one thing I did want to stress more than anything else, was that you got to see something. You have to experience this. You're not going to give your life up for something that you don't believe in. I was, you know, Lee Strobel did that case for Christ, and you know, he looked at the evidence, and when we see things, when we put our soul into delving into the things of God, and that God works in our lives, and we go out and step out and do things, and then we acknowledge God for what we see Him doing in us, and not what we can do. Got to experience it.
The thing that Brother Tim was talking about, that the boldness comes from the Lord, and don't need to prepare ahead of time. I was very blessed to see that working in a young believer. He didn't know a lot, but when the police called him in, he had something to say. That, you know, they're accusing him of doing wrong for having studied the Bible with this foreigner. And what he said was, "Because I believe in God, I am taught that I should not hurt you. If I didn't believe in God and I came in here with a gun and shot you, now would that be a good thing or a bad thing? But God teaches me to love you. Is that good or is that bad?" And I rejoiced in hearing that, that even though this young man only had a third grade education, and that really is not enough to read the Bible with understanding. He had a hard time reading the Bible with understanding. He consistently would not get it right because their characters he didn't know. But even though he didn't know a lot, the Spirit of God gave him words to say that were accurate. And you can't refute the good evidence of what he was talking about that God had been doing in him. The other thing that Jesus doesn't forbid us to do, I got called into the police to talk too. And I didn't feel prepared. And I know that God gave me things to say, but what I wish that I had considered, that I hadn't prepared on, was the distinction between render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. And I don't mean I hadn't thought about it, but when the police are asking questions, it's not wrong to study the scriptures to know what do we owe the government when they ask questions, and what do we owe God. Because I was being asked things that I think rightfully before God I didn't need to answer. Who were the people doing such and such? When people are committed to suppressing the truth, mm-hmm. as far as I am able to understand, they forfeit their right to the truth.
Yes, walking. By faith, Rahab sent the spies out the other way.
Thank you for your attention. I know you're all hungry.